listener production.
Well, Ham, this is our remembering project.
Yep, where a random day of the year is selected and we look up the run sheets from all our shows from across the years to find any we did on that day.
Over 20 years, that's about 2,500 shows and roughly 26,000 talk breaks. Today, we pick one. One talk break only and try to remember what happened based on what was written down on the run sheet from that day.
As always, we've got podcast Mike Wurst here for any technical stuff.
Hello.
Mike, what date was randomly chosen today?
It's the 29th of May.
Rightio, that's Andy's go. Here's Mike to take care of the sponsor stuff and we'll be right back to hear what year Andy chose to remember that day.
This is Hamish and Andy's Remembering Project.
It is the 29th of May. We're going to look at that date. Not, it isn't that date today. Well, actually, it might be if depending when you're listening. That's the beauty of a podcast. We're back at the Overlow Hotel, Ham, in Sydney, Woolloomooloo, our preferred place to remember.
This is where we like to remember in this particular hotel room.
Ham, six of the years of our broadcasting career, did we do a show on May 29th?
Beautiful.
All the way back in 2007? It must have been big news that Steve Izard was selling his home for $18 million.
Jeez.
Which was a lot of money in 2006.
Yeah. Still a lot. Like a lot, 20 years later.
Yeah.
That is phenomenal.
Some real estate agents say that property doubles every 10 years.
Yeah. So under that proviso, you're looking at like nearly an $80 million home. did well.
Yes. We had him on to talk about it.
Did we really?
Yeah.
Just doing donuts in a stretch limo, just with his head out the top of the limo, just screaming, "You beauty!"
From what I can gather, we had prepared a sketch for him, and he was doing a tour of his home for us, which involved opening a door,
tons and tons of rooms
with special effects and all of them, like probably like here's the Serengeti Desert in this room or whatever it might be.
What a must be nice.
Yes,
predated must be nice, but perhaps the original must be nice.
Yes. 2009, Paul Rudd.
Selling his house.
Paul Rudd on the show, Ant-Man.
Yeah, great.
We had Paul Rudd on a little bit.
We had him on a few times and he was always one of the super fun people to come on the show.
And we were lucky because he enjoyed coming on our show and he helped us essentially get our US agent because
he
went back to the US and he really enjoyed real stories. So that was kind of...
Didn't he? And he was like, those guys are nice. Have we talked about Dan Wiener before on the show?
No.
Have we ever mentioned Wiener?
No, we should.
No. So Dan Wiener was the publicist that would come. Anyone in that, anyone from like the Judd Apatow type movie, like Will Ferrell, Judd Apatow type films, Wiener was the
chaperone.
US publicist that would come out on the Australian junkets and got the impression that Wiener was out here to have a great time as well. Like it was, he was on a junket too, but he wanted to hang out.
You have spoken about this.
Have we?
To me in private, but maybe on the show. But
this is
he
where
came out with Jonah Hill, didn't he? And Michael Cera was.
Yep. He was just sort of the big publicist, big comedy actor publicist.
Maybe Seth Rogen and.
And he would do a thing. He would do a. We realized he'd do a thing where he had our number. And we'd see him in LA too. It's like he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
But he had our numbers. And when he was in Melbourne, there was one night where he messaged me and he also was really good friends with my housemate, Haydo. Yeah. He also knew Haydo. And he was like, he messaged me and Haydo was like, "Hey guys, Paul Rudd wants to hang out with you guys. Can you come to the Hyatt or something in the city? And what do you reckon? Do you want to hang out?" And we're like, sure. Like we were both, you know, we're
fans
like,
of Paul Rudd,
20s. And we're like, yeah, great. All right. So we turn up to the Hyatt. I remember walking through the dining room and Wiener's like, "Hey, come over." So you're like, and it's a very low energy dinner with Wiener, Paul Rudd, and someone else.
Oh, so Paul was there.
Paul was at dinner.
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Hey, how's it going?" And just immediately as soon as I walked in, Paul's face was like, "Oh, it's the guy from radio today. Yeah. Good to see you." And I was like, He doesn't want to hang out.
Yeah. But
I've fallen for this.
Is he not the guy who also would be like, "Oh, Seth Rogen wants to hang out with you," and then you'd show up and he'd be like, "Oh,
this was the classic one." So then Paul goes, "Hey, man, great to see you again. Like, we've finished dinner, so sorry, you know, I couldn't see you for longer, but I got some script stuff I got to do, so I'm gonna hit the hay." And walks upstairs, and then with some of the worst acting you've ever seen, he's like, "Oh, man."
Like, oh. I guess we just have to hang out.
So then Paul goes to me. He's like, oh, man, he really did want to hang out. That's a shame. That's a shame. But I'm free. Like,
let's go.
So we're like, got us a beauty. So we had to take him out on the town.
Yes. There's another I can't remember the specifics, but I remember having to pay for his valet parking.
That was when we were in LA, yeah. Okay. He was like, you know, I think he might have even done a bit of hey, I'm out and about with like a Seth Rogen or something.
Yeah, it was Seth Rogen. I'm like, oh, pass.
Great. We're at the Standard Hotel. Yeah. And he's like, I'll come in. And then he'd park and come in and he'd be like, oh, Seth. Yeah, he had to go home.
Yeah.
But hey, do you have any money? Because I
have parked valet.
I've parked valet and I don't have my card on me.
Yeah. Yeah, they're fond memories.
So anyway, so good to remember Rudd.
In the
good
same,
to remember Dan.
The same show we had Paul Rudd on, it was revealed in the press that Josh Thomas had a UK accent only because he spent a few months on holiday there. So we did the phone topic, small holiday, big influence.
People can change.
Which I liked. Also, I toyed with us listening back to this one, but I think maybe we're just better off talking
just
about it.
Just remembering it fondly.
But celebrity crush hunting.
Oh, yeah, that was great. That was great fun.
But
it was a slog.
It was a slog. And this is back when we had – our lives were dedicated to the show. It's all you do. You live and breathe it. But essentially, two listeners, one would pick a celebrity they had a crush on back when they were younger for Hamish, and one would pick one for me. I had Brian Austin Green.
Yeah.
And you had to – these days, you would go to Instagram and direct message them or any of their friends and try your best. Back then, there was none of that stuff. So it was
like phoning old – restaurants that they might have done an appearance at, and like,
and you're sure you can go to the agent, but the agent would just say no. So it was actually finding. I found the easiest way to do it.
It was basically like true crime podcasts.
Yes,
I mean, essentially, we're like hunting leads before that was a thing.
And the fruitful thing was finding a small business they had an attachment to.
You actually were really good at this game because I would quite often give up and then just. Yeah. I remember, like, I would know that you were getting warmer, and I go, "Great, so one of us is going to get it." And then I remember, like, if it was like we're going to try and find it by Friday, from about Tuesday onwards,
yeah,
my big reveal would often just be me doing an American accent. Like, you're getting closer.
Like it's coming San Diego or something for Hamish, where I'd worked through the night on
and Andy would be looking at me going, come on, man, we're meant to both be trying. I'd be like, well, you're doing so well. We only need to get one.
Very true. So in the history of doing this, I feel like I won 3-0. I think.
I reckon I got a fluke once. I think I got Dusted Diamond, or did you get, I got Screech
no,
and
you
Saved
did get
by
Screech.
The Bell.
So maybe we did it four times.
Yep. You definitely won a lot more than I did, but I got one fluke and then maybe that's why I was just resting on my laurels.
I got Vanilla Ice.
Yep. Milli Vanilli?
Yes.
And Brian Austin Green.
And Brian Austin Green. Yeah. And this
rare amount of accurate remembering from us here.
This is the show that we finally had got on to Brian Austin Green and he agreed to come on. And I asked Marshy, who looks for the audio for us, and I said, was there a big long plug for something? And he said, oh, yeah, huge plug for a small dog based business or something.
Really?
At the end. So we must have found the angle.
You would have, yeah, sold it in as like,
and sold it.
Do you
in.
Want to come and do some press? For
that? Yes. And he eventually came on. But what would be weird is you would eventually get their phone numbers.
Mm.
Like it showed to you that you could, it was pretty easy.
I had Kiefer Sutherland's phone number for some reason. Yeah. From something.
Yeah.
And then I remember we were doing something with Fred Bassett, our dog,
oh, yeah,
our greyhound, and I wrote a really, really – I tried to explain – like you do that thing where you're like trying to explain the fun of it.
Yeah.
And
– in your reply?
But I was going way too long, like yes, way too long the message. Yeah. And then you're like, I actually should just delete this and start again to be a bit cooler. And then that other voice in your head's like, no, this is good. Like I think
you're on a run.
I think he'll get sucked into this and he'll enjoy this. Yeah. And if he is enjoying it, I'll write more to keep the vibe up because I'm really hoping for a Hail Mary here.
Yeah.
And it was like, I remember just writing this way too long message. And then like a day later, just got back, please delete my number.
Okay. What do you reckon that meant?
After we hang out, or wow.
But you have a more personal number you want to forward on to me?
Yeah, like, how will we get in touch? Hey, so he got spooked. I spooked Kiefer Sutherland, I think, with a request. I think it was to come on the show and talk about our dog. Tough to sell it all in on text.
It is very tough.
It's too much.
Hey, 2014, happy hour.
Great.
John Denholm came on the show.
That rings a bell.
Any reason?
Yeah. Was he someone's dad? Because there was a someone else Denholm.
This guy was banned for the show for life.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, very good, Mike. What have you got there? I remember this. We had the board of people in the studio of banned for life.
Yeah, this is a picture from the show around this era with villains of the show.
Villains of the show. Not many people have that. I respect that from us. Yeah, who are the villains?
Tony Barber was the nemesis.
Yeah, that was a bit unfair, but yeah.
Then General Enemy, the Chaser. Who, and then the Intruder. And then banned for life, Jonathan Denholm. And they have all their like photos are up on the wall of the studio.
I remember the Chaser and the Intruder. That's where we got really into it because they were like Batman villains. Mm. They were trying to get in the studio. Yes. One came dressed as a courier.
One came. We said that if anyone can get in the studio, we've got great security. They can have a prize. I think a gold coloured watch.
Dumb.
Or a coin.
We asked for that one.
And someone delivered our food that day and said, "Hey, give me the watch."
The intruder.
We went, oh, that's worry about reception. But apparently he just, we ordered and he waited, I think, for food to be delivered and said to the delivery guy, "Hey, I'll take it. Is that for Hamish Nanny? I'll take it." And then went to reception and goes, I've got the food for Hamish Nanny. And the reception's gone, oh, great.
head on in. No, that was well played from the intruder.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but yeah, John Denholm was banned for life. But why?
I think he proposed to us.
I think it was a bet. I think it was like, if I don't get this, I'm banned for life.
Yeah, paper, rock, scissors. From what I can gather, it was paper, rock, scissors, whether he would get a watch or a prize, maybe a coin.
No, it would have been gold colour watch days.
I don't think it was rock, paper, scissors. Wasn't that when a guy flew over from the UK?
Different time.
Oh, that's different.
That was radio days, and we sent him home.
But that was also rock, paper, scissors.
That was the ultimate game of rock, paper, scissors. Christian O'Connell, who does the breakfast show in Melbourne now, he used to do the breakfast show across the UK. That would sync up with our timings.
Yep. We'd
be live and they'd be live because we're in the afternoon.
We had an England-Australia dual competition.
Yeah. Where we flew one of a listener from Australia to them and they flew one back to us from Britain and they'd arrive in the studio straight from the airport, a game of rock, paper, scissors. If they lost, they were straight back on a plane.
If they won, 2 week holiday and the British one that came to Australia lost.
Yes.
And we were like, rules are rules.
Rules are rules, buddy.
And then Christian's like, no, what are you doing? You can't do this. We're like, what are you talking about? Yeah. That's the rules.
And Christian called us scum. Radio scum live on air.
That was the competing hashtags were hashtag radio scum, hashtag bloody fair.
Yeah. And Christian maintains that we did the wrong thing. And I said, well, that's the difference between you and us. There's a show. We play by rules that don't get broken.
Rule-based order.
And the fact that we sent a Brit home.
And then the Aussie won.
He won.
England and had a great time.
And thankfully he played first and won. So we're like, yes. And then the Brit came in and lost. Gosh, I hope we get that, the Rumour Project. No, different time. Mike, I think this is the moment where he gets banned. We're about to hear.
Right.
So let's listen to the moment and then we'll, opposed to speculating, we'll be able to understand what happened. But Mike, before
you
that.
Go first, Mike.
I'll do my bit.
Yeah. Don't, if you do it wrong, you're banned for life.
Oh, no.
Here you go, Mike. Lovely, Mike. Yeah, not banned. Okay.
Gold access for life, Mike. That was great.
2014, May 29. Let's see how we go.
The 29th of May, 2014.
Happy hour. Hamish and Andy with you. And as we just mentioned, Haim, I mean, it pains us to do this, but we did set out a rule for this show. It was to do with a fellow called Jonathan Denholm.
I thought it was pretty clear, Ando, when we had him on. He asked for a gold-coloured watch from the show. Gold-coloured watch, of course, being the most incredible thing you could own on Earth, full stop. We only have 100 in existence, and it's not impossible to get one out of us. But we thought, you know what? We'll roll the dice. We'll gamble with you, Jonathan. And we did. We had played a fairly basic version of Paper, Scissors, Rock with him on the radio. Mm. But the caveat being, look, if you win, you get a gold-coloured watch. If you lose, you're banned from the show.
Banned from emailing
you can
in.
Never listen.
Yep.
Bad no from more listening. Contacts.
Yep. Bad from asking friends about it.
We hate to do it to him, but we had to make it big stakes. Because if you're going to win the Holy Grail, you have to risk your life, as we saw in the Indiana Jones film.
As it turns out, he hasn't been abiding by the rules of the band.
He emailed us in specifically to give us essentially a digital no. Because he's emailed in going, I thought this topic was a good chance to let you know I've been breaking the rules despite my lifetime ban. I still listen to the show.
He joins us now. Jonathan.
Hey, boys.
Now, you're a bit sheepish, and well should you be, because you're breaking the ban. How many days did you adhere to the ban for?
Oh, a total of zero, I think.
Right, just straight back out there and back to
Jonathan, I thought we had a deal, mate.
What can I say? I mean, the extra adrenaline rush of listening to the show with the band, it just made it not only possible to...
bad boy. Do you find that more girls are attracted to you now that you're a bad boy, that you're a bit of a delinquent?
I haven't come across that yet, but I'll give it on.
I reckon listening to the show doing a wheelie on a dirt bike. The ultimate adrenaline rush.
So, I mean, now you've been caught effectively handed yourself in a little bit. We're coming to you to plead again, John. Do the right thing. Adhere to the
ban. It breaks our heart to ban you. I mean, you're a great guy.
And you're a great listener of the show.
We love all the listeners equally, but the only thing that overrides that is we've sort of, our hands are tied here, mate. We've got to uphold the ban.
Mm.
Maybe if you throw me a gold-coloured watch, I'll adhere to the ban.
Hang on. So now
is not how it works. It's not a win-win for you on the Paper, Scissors, Rock. It was a high-stakes game of Paper, Scissors, Rock.
You lost, John. You lost. So, Denholm, please do the right thing.
If you don't accept this ban, we're going to have to go into the other studio where all the sound effects are, and we're going to have to issue a very stern public message to re-ban you from the show. And I'm sure you don't want that to happen. So, as a gentleman to gentleman, you just accept the ban.
Can't do it, boys. Sorry.
Okay, not right. You've left no choice.
Okay.
We are going to go next door to where the better microphones are. And Jonathan, in a moment's
time. This is the last bit of the show you can listen to, mate. I want everyone to listen to this because it's important.
We'll be there in a sec, John, okay?
Hi, guys. It's Giggling Ben here. Just providing some covering time while Hamish and Andy walk around to this studio for a sad announcement. Here they are.
Thanks, Benny.
Cheers, Ben.
Hi, gang. Hamish and Andy here, just providing some covering chat while Ben leaves the studio.
Bye, guys.
Bye, Ben.
But also here to give you a very important message about Jonathan Denholm, the man banned from listening to this show.
Obviously, Andy and I are only two men who cannot permanently police this renegade. That's why we need the public's help.
If you ever see a man wearing headphones who looks like he might sound a little bit like this...
This is the fourth time I've been on the show trying to get one.
You have government permission to walk over to him, check to see if he's listening to this show, ask for ID, and if he's Jonathan Denholm, delete all podcasts / apps from his phone or iPod.
You actually don't have government permission, although that would be nice.
You actually do have government permission because my friend's mum is Julia Gillard.
Okay, that's not true because Julia Gillard doesn't have any kids. She's also not in government anymore.
Right.
But we'll just say, please, help us stop Jonathan Denholm from listening to the show. A deal's a deal, Jonathan.
Authorised by the federal government in Canberra.
No.
That ought to do it.
Denholm. Love to hear if he's still out
there. We follow back up on this, like...
We would have.
2019 on the pod was 5 years. And I think it was a five-year ban. That's why we did it.
Ah.
And we called him on the show.
Well, we're saying ban for life.
Yeah, I was going to say we must have had a.
There might have been a follow up.
Senate Oversight Committee reduced his ban, commuted it down to 5 years.
Mm. So 2019, we called him again, and he did sound like he hadn't been listening to the show from memory.
It's actually a bit of a win-win for us because obviously, like you know, over time, I'm sure a lot of people listen for a bit, then gone. He's the one guy that we can be like, he'd be like, I don't listen to you guys anymore. Well, the band, you're upholding the band. No, I just sort of moved on to other stuff. No, I think it's the band.
Yeah, thank you for respecting our rules.
I think you really want to listen to it. I'm actually fine.
Good remembering.
Really good remembering, Andrew.